Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Rambles. I'm Anita. I know I have not, this is going to be my first episode of this month. And yes, I will record a second episode for the month. So thank you guys for listening. And this episode was written years ago when I was still living in Houston. I haven't lived in Houston since 2015. But for almost 3 years, I worked in oil and gas. So ULEC Bio5 is like a oil or a gas formula. So it's like in a system. So, yeah. Anyway, the reason I thought of this episode when I wrote it living in Houston was the Insane Makeup Artist, which for those of you who don't know, is a makeup artist I've known since college. And if you'd like more information on her work, you can look at Facebook or Instagram for the Insane Makeup Artist, or you can email me and get information from ICAGA2004@gmail.com. Yes, I know that is also the email I use for my soap business, but if you want makeup information, you can just put makeup in the subject, but if you're looking for soaps, you can just put soaps. And yeah, and yes, that is a picture of the soap I made. The mug in the background has already been sold, but yeah, the soap business. Anyway, back to the subject at hand. Sometimes her and I would discuss oil and gas and makeup. We both went to school for media. That is how we met. Like I said, I've known her since college. We were both media majors. I changed to radio and television, which I've discussed in previous episodes. She was always radio and television. And she loved doing television work behind the scenes, you know, doing the studio stuff for television. I liked studio for radio. But she ultimately decided to become a makeup artist. And she would talk about makeup, and I would be like, okay. You know that guy, when guys do that, okay. And that's how I was, because I very, very rarely wear makeup. Like, let's put it like this. I have given her some unused makeup just because I'm like, it needs a home in my home now. It's there. It's not being used. Let it be used with somebody who, you know, likes wearing it, because I wear it when either I really, really feel like it or it's necessary, like job interviews or something like that. For the most part, it goes to waste, and that's not a good thing, to waste makeup, especially since I have PCOS, which I've discussed, and I have acne-prone skin, so I got to be careful, and sometimes that makeup is not cheap, so I'm like, I spent, which to me, $30 is a lot on some foundation. It's like, I spent this much on foundation, and I'm rarely using this. No. So she would talk about it like, okay, there's the bare minerals and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you're my friend for almost 20 years. Okay. And then I would end up talking to her about systems like the oil listed. And she'd be like, uh-huh. Okay, I've stuck with you through how many career changes? I don't know. So finally, I was like, look, this formula, because it finally hit me how to talk to her about it and her how to talk to me, because in a non-media way, this one is like bare minerals. Yes, I am calling up because it's a brand that doesn't use a lot of stuff. So I'm like, okay, this brand, this kind of conversation, this kind of oil is like this brand of makeup. And she got it. So we could have this conversation. And then when she would come back to me and explain it that way, it's like, I get it. That's it. We just had to know what each other meant. Like, we're not stupid women. It's just we don't speak each other's language. And that happens with other relationships and other fields. I mean, I have friends who work in cars, and they know, I just want to pay to get it fixed and get my book stamped. I don't really need all the other details. And I know it sounds sort of arrogant, but it's not. And it also sounds ignorant, which is previous episode, but it's just, I don't know. So you're really going to have to explain it. That doesn't mean dumb it down, but talk to me in a language I understand, what jargon I use. So it's like, oh, okay. And that shows how smart you are if you are willing to take the step to be like, oh, okay. So I know this language. This is the language you speak. So I'm going to talk to you in this language. So it makes sense and it makes relationships better. Because let's face it, that's all business is. Business is relationships that sometimes involve money. I mean, I run a business, so I can say that. Like my best customers, I know their language, they know mine. We get each other's sense of humor. It's just, but sometimes, in both cases, I don't know. So, in order to keep this relationship, I have to change it to their language, and they appreciate it. And sometimes when they say stuff, it's like, I really need you to speak my language. So they'll be like, oh, okay. Not a lot of customers do that, or people in general, and it's like your relationship is going to deteriorate or just be destroyed. And those kind of customers who don't, I don't know if they're even my target market. And if somebody's not willing to sometimes take that time, are they even worth having a relationship with? And I know that sounds sort of drastic, but it creates frustration if neither person knows what the other person's talking about. Like, you're not going to, yeah, French people speak English. You've had sort of like an acrimonious relationship with the English, but they speak it. They may not want to or may not like it, but they do because sometimes it is necessary. But it looks better when you're an English speaker and you go there and try to speak the language. It leaves good feelings. Like, oh, okay, cool. I used to be able to speak French, and well, I can still speak very, very, very little, like below intermediate, because I haven't spoken on a daily basis since like freshman year of college, I think. Anyway, I guess a better example would be Spanish, because I sometimes have to speak Spanish. It looks good. And even with a Spanish person, when they mess up with English, they're not, or anybody who speaks a foreign language, it's not because, and they mess up. They're not stupid. It's just that's not their native language. And native languages come with time. Going back to the insane makeup artist, her language came from years of doing makeup, and she's great at it. But I'm not about to spend years learning about makeup. That's not my passion. That's hers. She's enthusiastic. And yes, that's my chair in the background. She's enthusiastic about it. I don't share that, but it means a lot when talking to her to talk about it in the language she gets. And it's like, oh, okay. I like my relationship with my friends. So I'm going to do this. And in her case, yeah, learning that would help. Because also, you know, if you have clients who work in oil and gas, because oil and gas is not just men, that is very, very sexist. But for a customer of hers who works in oil and gas to know, hey, you can speak my language. This helps. We can have a relationship. And they don't feel bad. You don't feel bad. And nobody likes to feel like they're stupid. That's an insult. They just don't know. So either end of the relationship has to take the time to be like, I'm going to meet you part of this. And I think even in people's styles at work, it touches on that. Because again, business is about relationships. And the different types sometimes have to take on other types. Like, okay, if you're the analytical, sometimes you may have to be the dominant. I don't remember the word. I haven't read that book in years. But for different business types, and some are the analytical people who are good with the facts, and then there's like the dominant personalities, like Richard Nixon, because I can remember there was a part of the book that talked about the Richard Nixon Dan Rather interview, and you know, somebody has to be the sub, somebody has to be the dominant to make this work. It is work, not easy. Especially when you have, because you have to change your brain, and not like in a brain washing kind of way, but you have to learn how to think differently, and that takes a level of maturity to be like, okay, I can do this. I'm in discipline, because it took a while for me to learn this letter for the bio. It's like a 5% diesel. Because again, I'm trying to remember something from 4 years ago, but it took a while to learn. And she recognized, hey, you like this. I like you. I'm going to learn this. And it hurt. I like my friends. I'm going to learn this a little bit, take the effort. It's like, I appreciate you taking this effort because this is something important to me. And in the bigger scope with the language thing, it makes people feel at home. Like, if I went to, I don't know, China, well, probably Spain, because I do know a tiny, tiny bit of Spanish. It's slightly better than my French. But to have someone there who I can just talk in my native tongue, like, thank you so much. But it wouldn't be fair to them, so I should probably have dusted up on my language. Sort of like the listeners I have in India, and thank you guys so much. And in Palestine, thank you. But my skills in those languages are sort of kind of horrible. But if I come there, I need to know it. Because at the end of the day, this is a valuable relationship and it's rude not to know. Yeah, Palestine. So I would have to learn the native language there. Even if it was very rudimentary. I guess that's the proper word for it. But it means a lot to people. It's basic human courtesy. And even if someone who never learned English, to take the time, if they take the time to attempt to do it, that doesn't mean they're stupid if they mess up some words. English is a hard language. I mean, I just messed up on my own language that I've been speaking since I was a kid. Again, it's a hard language. There have been many, many jokes about how hard English is. Example, I Love Lucy episode when Ricky Ricardo is talking to Lucille Ball about it, and she's like, and she thinks it's easy, but then you look at it as an English speaker, and it's like, oh, yeah, I take that for granted. Even the whole thing with, like, adjectives and the order that we just assume is natural for other people from other countries to do it, like, oh, this is really hard. We just take it for granted. Other languages are actually easier to learn once you get past the hump. I guess that's why little kids learn. It's easier for little kids to learn them. But anyway, that is my tangent. And I have like 2 minutes left. And I was actually thinking about how like back in the 1900s and when people were coming to America, they would assume that if they didn't speak English, they were stupid. No. And first of all, it's not like they could watch English entertainment was as prevalent as it is now, so they had a harder time learning it. But it's hard. And I just got the 90-second warning. But that's a hard thing. That doesn't mean they were stupid. It's just it took a while for them to learn it. And it's just like any other language. And let's face it, jargon is a language. It is a language for a particular group. Makeup artists, that jargon is a language. Talk to any makeup artist, hairstylist, which I love because I have limited hair skill. When some of my hairdressers talk about, I'm like, I don't know. But okay, and every now and then I will get it right. Like I know the difference between a trim and getting a cut. It's a couple of inches of hair. I know sulfates and non-sulfates because, again, been natural for a while. I get it, and in my case, non-sulfates really, for the most part, do not work on my hair. But I can speak that language if I go to a hairdresser and talk to them and say, oh, okay, you get this. That does not mean I will use any hot metal. That doesn't mean for certain hairstyles I will attempt them at home. No, I will just give them my money. But they appreciate the fact that I respect their craft enough to learn their language. And that is a very, very important thing. Anyway, I'm Anita, and I appreciate you guys taking the time to listen. I'm Anita. This is Rambles, and enjoy the rest of your time. Okay, bye.